Before we drill down into some of the more specific details, give us a sense within the league office of what the last 2.5 months have looked like from the time you guys effectively had to shut it down to now. The types of days you've had, the types of conversations you've had. I've imagined there have been many, and of course you're navigating a very uncertain illness in a very uncertain time.
Yeah, it's been a tough period for a lot of people, for sure. And, you know, we, in terms of the league office and league office personnel, we've obviously been working from home, and that's been true throughout our three offices, including in Toronto and Montreal. Which is a different type of environment. It creates a lot of monotonous days, as you guys probably can identify with. But I can tell you that I'm not sure I've ever worked harder than I have over the last 2.5 months than I've been working. And it's a lot of phone calls. It's a lot of we've been in a regular, daily, multiple times daily communication with the National Hockey League Players Association. I would say that would be certainly one of the positive byproducts of this situation is, I think both parties, the league and the Players Association, realized we were kind of in this together, in this storm together, and we needed to be aligned in terms of coming up with a plan to get out of it and to move it forward. And I think while yesterday was a step, it was, one step on a very long road. So we still have lots of work to do. We'll continue working hard. We'll continue to hope that the world continues to return a little bit to normalcy, that people stay healthier than they've been, and that we can get out of this thing.
Yeah, announcing yesterday is officially the 24-team playoff format. I was wondering if you could give us a little insight on the process, how you guys actually got to that, and what other proposals, I guess, was the NHL considering?
Well, I have to tell you, Mike, I think we considered virtually everything that was the least bit possible, including, obviously returning to a regular season, returning to some number of regular season games, returning to try to play out the balance of the regular season in centralized locations, which could have been done a little more efficiently than having to travel around North America to complete them, and could have been done a little quicker, but not that much quicker, remarkably so. Whether there were, smaller, shorter playoff tournament formats and the like. I mean, the format we actually came up with and announced yesterday was one that was being kicked around very early on really kind of came back into vogue as a result of our discussions with our resumption of play committee, which is the joint NHL-NHLPA committee with five active players. I think we started talking about, we were focused on the time at kind of returning to a regular season or some type of regular season before going to the playoffs. And I think it was the players who raised, look, in this uncertain time, I think it would be good to focus on kind of shorter, more efficient, the better, get in, get out. Keep people healthy, and then we can plan for a start of next season, kind of with 2019-20 out of the way. So that's ultimately why we went back to a kind of a shorter, almost playoff tournament format as opposed to returning to any regular season games. We did have a discussion toward the end with respect to whether we could create some round robin tournaments in a way that could replicate regular season games. And ultimately, I think we jointly concluded that there was really no fair way to do that without introducing a lot of arbitrariness into the equation. And we wanted to avoid doing that.
Bill Daly is the deputy commissioner of the NHL, and he's with us on Leadoff, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Bill, the hub city situation, and Commissioner Bettman said yesterday that you will ultimately, it sounds like, settle on two cities. Could there be one on either side of our shared border, Canada, the United States, two in the States? Where do you stand with that, and what are some of the challenges you face as you consider where ultimately to hold your games?
Well, ultimately, we want to pick the safest cities, and safest goes to what the condition of the virus is in the city, and whether the city has it under control, and the health facilities are available, and the like. So, but it also goes to infrastructure and how's the arena set up, and hotels around the arena, and the secure transportation to and from the hotels to the arena. What does that look like, and is that a place where we can keep the players and club staff and league staff all safe in a bubble type environment? So those are the primary considerations. Obviously, as with most of the things we do, we want to make sure that our Canadian cities and our Canadian clubs are well represented. So in a perfect world, I think we'd love to have one Canadian city and one U.S. city. We do have some challenges in Canada currently with respect to the strict mandatory 14-day quarantine that is imposed by the federal government. We're having discussions whether that can, you know, consistent with the restriction and consistent with the quarantine, whether that can be served in a way that's a little more non-traditional, kind of in a bubble environment as opposed to strictly in somebody's, you know, hotel room or the like. So those discussions are ongoing. If we can't agree on kind of how that gets interpreted or should get interpreted, it will be difficult for us to select a Canadian city. Because the 14-day quarantine for the teams traveling in would be kind of a non-starter to be able to play a tournament.
Everyone kind of wants to know the discussion around if a player gets sick once the hub cities are established and games are starting. What happens if a personnel on one of the teams gets sick? Are they just going to self-quarantine? Are games going to be shut down? What has the league kind of developed so far in that sense?
Yeah, very critical question, and that issue was addressed in the Phase 2 protocol that we issued this weekend jointly with the Players Association. Our best medical advice at this point in time, although there are a lot of uncertainties, is depending on the circumstance, it doesn't necessarily have to shut down the tournament or cause a full team quarantine. We have to avoid being in a situation where there are multiple positives or there's a mini outbreak. I think that clearly would put the tournament in danger, but we're proceeding on the assumption that one single positive test, particularly with all the other precautions we've built around the environment in which this tournament will be played, won't be the end of the tournament.
Can you tell us, Deputy Commissioner, like where the COVID-19 tests will be administered and where those players will be when they find out their results? I guess the concern, of course, being that this virus can be transmitted by asymptomatic people. So, you know, testing could be on the daily here, and we read that in some of the reports about the plan that you guys have laid out. But I would imagine from testing until results, you're not going to want that player to leave the particular space that he's in.
Yeah, I mean, the concept, well, we actually have a number of different concepts for the different phases that we envision as we come back toward the competition phase. And certainly, when we're in a position to open training facilities, which we hope is soon, the recommendation, and I think most of our clubs, if not all our clubs, should be able to comply, is there's a pre-screening test given to the players before their pre-participation medicals, which will also be required before they enter the facility. And then during the remainder of phase two, the protocol reads that they'll be testing at least twice weekly. That should get ramped up, will get ramped up with our phase three protocol, which is the mandatory training camp protocol, obviously a somewhat different set of conditions associated with a full training camp where there'll be full team activities and not small group activities. And obviously you've increased the level of risk somewhat when you move to that stage. So much more frequent testing in phase three. And then once we get to phase four, we envision daily testing for all players and staff who have close access to players. And that testing, the way we envision it working, would be done every night before a player goes back to his room. The results would be analyzed before the player reports to the rink the next morning. Obviously, if there's a positive test, you know, the player would be instructed to stay in his hotel room and we'd get him medical care.
Bill Daly is the deputy commissioner of the NHL. This is Leadoff, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. The draft lottery, deputy commissioner, will involve, of course, the seven teams that are not part of the 24-team playoff. And there will be some bottom seeds that have a shot at the first overall pick, but they will be, I guess, placeholders, if you will, when the lottery is selected on June the 26th, because of course the playoffs will not have played out by that time. Can you take us through with some clarity the plan surrounding the draft lottery coming up?
Well, the challenge there is the clarity part, and that's probably on me. But in any event, yes, this is kind of a unique solution that we've tried to create to a unique problem, which is we're qualifying 24 teams essentially for a playoff tournament. You know, typically eight of those teams would not qualify for the playoffs and would be in a lottery. So the way we chose to move forward was to preserve the chances of the bottom seven clubs who are not resuming their seasons, kind of with the exact same chances to win either the first, second, or third overall picks in the lottery, and use the remaining odds that are normally allocated among the next eight clubs, as you said, as a placeholder. For a potential later lottery, if one of those placeholder teams essentially wins one of the draws for the first, second, or third pick, if the bottom seven teams win all three draws, there's not a need for a second phase lottery. But if one of those placeholder teams were to win one or more draws, then the second phase of the lottery would kick in, which would be not until after the play-in round. We'd determine who the eight teams not advancing from the play-in round are, and they would each be accorded essentially equal odds to be selected in a second phase lottery for one of the picks that had not gone to the bottom seven in the first phase of the lottery. Very complicated, but actually I think fair. And one of the things that, you know, the commissioner wanted to do with this, and I think rightfully so, is create some level of enthusiasm and some opportunity of engagement for the fans in these seven cities, because, you know, this you know, exact start date for next season is so uncertain, still uncertain. And they're looking at a long period of time between playing games. We'd like to create some enthusiasm in those markets around the draft prospects.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about the start of next season. And, you know, the commissioner was talking about a November, December, even a January start date. Is that more just certainty around, you know, having fans back in the rinks and from that standpoint? Or is this giving players enough time off from the playoffs, concluding maybe into September or any other reasons?
I think those are all important reasons, Mike. I do think they all play in. It's a combination of factors. The bottom line is, you know, we will have the flexibility next year while we're We're fully intent on doing whatever's necessary to get in a full season of games and a full playoffs. We're also mindful that the calendar won't necessarily be, a fixed thing next year. And we're gonna continue to watch how this virus evolves. Potentially having the ability to have fans in the stands is important to our sport. I think it's important in every sport. And if we have the flexibility to push or defer a little longer to accommodate that, it's probably a worthwhile goal. It's a worthwhile goal, I think, for everybody involved, including the players.